I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 13, verses 1 through 8, as we now prepare our hearts to receive the word of our Lord. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who were in prison, as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves are being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled. For God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, as I've spent a lot of time with this particular scripture in the past, and I've always been conflicted a little bit because there's a lot of things coming at you in this scripture. It's jumping around a good bit, and there is a reason to it, but it really goes into several different areas. But that first piece that's always come up has always been a little bit of a challenge to me about entertaining strangers. Because who it is that I'm supposed to entertain? What do you mean by entertaining a stranger? But then the other parts of it kind of flow and help us to think a little bit more about our own spiritual lives. And I think, and the caution that I issue, is that be careful of trying to just understand this scripture from a very literal sense. If I take it as it is written, without praying over it, without discerning, without looking more deeply into it, into your heart, and I think the message you get will be a lot different than the one that's truly intended. But so as we hear the words of this passage this morning, it puts us into a place of understanding, but it can also generate some more questions. But from a contextual standpoint, if we look at those things that are emerging out of this scripture, there are five basic things that come out and really speak to us if we will take that time to look at it in detail. First, we see a theme of hospitality. We also see a theme of empathy. We see one of respect. We see one of contentment, and then we also see one of love. And essentially, is that mutual love, that enduring love that we have in Christ Jesus, our Savior, that binds these other four things together. And these things that we read and we hear this morning speak not only of our outward response to how we respond to others, but also to our own vows and our own spirituality. Where is it that we find our own foundation? Because these words of the Lord help us to come face to face with our own struggle as we try to discern and determine who we are and who we hope to be as a person from a mortal and a spiritual sense. So initially we'll come back to that word stranger. Who is it that are those strangers in our lives? Who is it? Do you think the Scripture really calls us to invite a complete stranger into our homes that we've never met before? Invite them to spend time with our families, to dine with us, to potentially come in and do us harm, because we know what this world's like now. Do we think that's what it really means? From a biblical context, I mean, the strangers they were referring to were the prophets and the preachers that were traveling around, to welcome into the home, to show that mutual love of Jesus Christ and to share in that. But from the sense of today, do you think that that stranger, that it may be referring to how we view and respond to those that are different than us? How we view and respond to those that have some particular need in their life? How we view and respond to those that we've never met before? How we interact with the person who walks through the doors of the church, or the person that we encounter in our daily circle of life that may need to talk, or may have some need, or may have some unmet need that the church or you could offer at that time? Perhaps you have been placed in a situation to be there at that particular moment because some place you've traveled in your life, some tribulation you've experienced, might be a benefit to that person that's in front of you. And personally, I feel that's the situation. That's it. Because we are called to respond in love to all whom we consider strangers, because all people are God's children, all are worthy of God's love, and our commission is to love God and to love neighbor. And this love is to transcend all gaps, all boundaries, all barriers, all obstacles related to whether it be race, religion, nationality, difference, or any boundary that separates the children of God. We do not want to miss the opportunity to entertain angels. From a theological context, we know there were three places in the Old Testament where Abraham, Gideon, and Noah did just that. But even greater is we don't want to miss the opportunity to be that visible hand of God in another person's life. Because they may need you. They may have come to you because they need you at that point in their life. They don't know why. You may not know why, but there was something there. And God uses us, uses this church, to be that visible hand of grace, to be that visible hand of love in other people's lives. So we must be open and prepared to serve in love, because this is the basis of our call. But many have missed that opportunity because we're either too busy, we don't want to be too vulnerable, we don't want to make ourselves vulnerable, or we don't want to take the time to listen. And then the other piece of this is empathy. We are to be empathetic to those who are imprisoned, to those who are being tortured. Now, it could very well be somebody who is in prison because of a crime they've committed and they're paying for that crime. But I invite you to think of that imprisonment on a deeper level. What else is it in our life that imprisons us? Could it be a sickness? Could it be living life with depression? Could that imprison us? What about financial worries or spiritual uncertainty? Am I supposed to be Methodist? Am I supposed to be Christian? Do I really know who Jesus Christ is? Or what about being homeless? Or having some unconfessed sin in my past that I'm really running from? Or maybe there's an issue with being worried about work. What does tomorrow hold? Can I support my family? Each of these things, drugs, alcohol, all of these things serve to imprison and they serve to torture. And we are to consider those that experience these things as if we have placed ourselves in their shoes, in their lives, and feel the burdens that they actually bear. Because whether, I'll say to you this, whether a person is a stranger, whether it's somebody in our church, whether it's somebody you encounter each day or perhaps by chance during your daily travels, or somebody in your family, remember this, we never know fully what it is that others experience with their struggles, their burdens, or some tribulation that they experience. The very next person you encounter could be having the absolute worst day of their life or the worst period in their life, and you don't know it. But you may have been put in that situation to encounter them as a measure of encouragement, being used as the visible work, the visible grace, the visible mercy of God. And I think if we were to stop here and ask for those situations where by coincidence you had something in common with someone you had spoken to, I think we would realize that there's no coincidence whatsoever. But it's God using you. It is God using you. So we talk about showing hospitality to strangers. We talk about being empathetic to those who are in prison by whatever it is that burdens them. Well, for us to do that, we have to have good spiritual discipline in our own lives. Spiritual discipline that reflects love, that reflects obedience. We must have respect for the vows that we have made. We've got to keep those promises. The promises, the vows, the covenant that we made with God. Our marriage vows, our responsibilities to our spouses. Responsibilities to our church, our friends, and even our own morality. And we must be cautious that we stand against the temptations of this world. We can't fall into that trap of idol worship as we look at money and possessions and power. We can't be greedy. We must be content with what we have. As we acknowledge that God's grace is all we need, God's grace is sufficient, that is all we need. But loving continually in the model of Jesus Christ through our journey to sanctification. That describes what it is, or where it is that we hope to be. We hope to be made more perfect in love. And this love of which we speak is what binds us together in each of these things that we share this morning. And through this love, we are capable and we are called to be hospitable, to be empathetic, to be respectful, and to be content. We speak frequently about the presence of God's grace and mercy, and sometimes I think it's helpful for us to remember exactly what that means. God's grace is that which we have received that we did not deserve. God's grace is that which we have received which we did not deserve. And in God's mercy, on the other hand, is not receiving what we actually deserve. So when we put that into perspective and we see how much our God has loved us and continues to love us, and the grace that He showed us through the giving of His Son, Jesus Christ, and that perfect love, then we can stand with confidence and proclaim with confidence on this day that the Lord indeed is our helper, and that through Him we will not be afraid. And our Savior is the same, and our Savior is with us, and our God has promised to never leave us and never forsake us. So going from this place today, let us be intentional in our love, let us be intentional in our obedience, and let us be intentional in our service. I call you back to verse 7 of Hebrews 13. Remember your leaders, those who taught you, those who influenced you, those who have mentored you, your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way in life and imitate their faith. Let us also imitate the faith of Jesus Christ. And as we go forward, let us reflect that truth in Jesus Christ this day and every day. For this day we do indeed give praise to our Heavenly Father. Amen.